Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. While you're turning there, I wanted to mention to you that we'll be having a baptismal service tonight in connection with the evening service. If you have never followed the Lord in being obedient to Him in baptism, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you would like to be baptized, you've been thinking about it, the Lord maybe has spoken to your heart about it. I know this is not the usual notice that we give, but if you would like to be baptized, you can speak to me after the service or any of the elders and be glad to talk with you about it. Luke chapter 24, and we want to read at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to gather with you, for the opportunities that you give us to hear your word. We pray that we would hear it this morning, that we would hear it in our hearts, that we would hear it in a way that would change us, hear it in a way that would cause us to be conformed more and more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be a blessing to you here in this world and a testimony, that our lower lights might indeed be burning here in this dark age. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned these verses in connection with a message about the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. We've read them this morning because we want to think about the importance of reading and studying the Word of God ourselves. And I guess ultimately that this message is just another part of those two or three messages. The need of this hour is for those who know the Lord to be in this book. If we were to take a poll, probably every person here would say that we believe that Bible study is important. Some would even say that they believe it's critical. So the question is, why don't we do it? Why do we not read and study the Bible on our own? Why do we not come to hear it preached at every opportunity? So much the more, Paul wrote in Hebrews, as we see the day approaching. We have all kinds of excuses, all kinds of reasons. For about 10 years, from the time I was 6 until the time I was about 16, we went to church in Rock Hill, South Carolina, lived there a number of those years. Pastor was a man by the name of George Schultz. What I remember about him are two or three things. Number one, he was a real Bible student. And he encouraged that among his congregation, among the young people. He was a very interesting man. He had been a navigator on a B-29 bomber during World War II and had gone on a number of bombing missions over Japan during the war, including one near the end of his tour when their plane was hit by Japanese anti-aircraft fire. And they were going down. until the pilot was able to get control of the airplane just a few hundred feet off the ground. A very interesting man. He said something in a message that I have not been able to forget in the last 50 or so years. He said, an excuse is a lie packed into the shell of a reason. An excuse is a lie packed into the shell of a reason. When we think of it like that, we have to be honest and say that there is no excuse, there is no reason for a child of God not to read and study this book. If there's no desire in our heart to read and study and spend time in this book, then there is something seriously wrong. It could be that you're not saved. Maybe you've made a profession of faith. Maybe you've been through the process of modern day evangelism. You've raised your hand during the invitation in a service, and then you walked the aisle, or you repeated a prayer. The preacher pronounced you saved. You got baptized. You joined the church. You've been through the steps. You've had this experience, this emotional experience, as it is many times. But you've never really been saved. We don't give a formal invitation in our services. And there's a reason for that. The Spirit of God is the inviter of men. He's the one who gives the invitation. The Lord Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He was lifted up from the earth on the cross of Calvary. He was lifted up there when he bore our sins in his own body. He was lifted up there when he was made sin for us. He was lifted up there when the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was lifted up there when he shed his blood that we might have life. Those words of the Lord Jesus Christ really tell us what our ministry is. Our ministry is to lift him up. The choir has a song that they sing about that. Lift the name of Jesus higher. And when we lift him up, the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of this book to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He moves on the face of the waters of this book to convict men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And when he does that in the heart of an individual, and that individual surrenders their heart, repents of their sins, and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, he takes us and he washes us from our sin in his own blood. That is a transaction that takes place in the heart. It takes place between a seeking God and a seeking sinner. And it's a transaction that takes place without any aid or help or pressure from men. That's why we don't give invitations here at this church. If you have no desire this morning to study the Bible, maybe it's because you've never been saved. Someone may say, well, I am saved. I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I just don't have time to read the Bible. Remember our little saying, we have time for everything else, don't we? What is there in your life that you want to do that you don't make time for? I think the answer is nothing. We make time for everything that we want to do. So why do we not make time to read and study the Word of God? It doesn't have to be hours. Let's be honest. If we don't have that desire and we're saved, then we're out of fellowship with the Lord. We're walking in our own way. It's very easy to give ourselves a spiritual test. If our zeal for the Word is low, if our zeal and desire to study it and to hear it preached, to come to the services is low, then we're out of fellowship with the Lord. There's coldness, there's indifference in our hearts. And that's what sin does. It brings a coldness to the heart. It brings a coldness to the life. It brings an indifference to the things of the Lord. That sin needs to be confessed and forsaken. This morning, we want to think about and try to understand something of the importance of Bible study. I'd like for you to turn back to Daniel chapter 9, if you would. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, and look at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel was a Bible reader. He studied this book. Notice that he says in verse 2, I, Daniel, understood by books. What book? The Word of God. The Word of God did something for Daniel that it can do for us. It gave him an understanding of his times. It gave him an understanding of where he was and why he was there. We need that kind of understanding in these days in which we're living, dark days in which we're living. And this book is the only place where we're going to get that understanding. Now, what books was Daniel talking about? What books did he read? Well, he tells us one of them in verse 2. He was studying Jeremiah the prophet. Look back at Jeremiah chapter 25, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 25. And this is where Daniel was reading. Look at verse 9. Well, let's read it verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Jeremiah speaking to Judah, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. This is where Daniel was reading. And he reads, we're not going to take time to read all of this chapter, but he reads about people he knows. He reads about Jehoiakim and Nebuchadnezzar, and how the Lord is going to use Nebuchadnezzar to bring desolation upon Judah because they would not hearken to the word of God. Jeremiah says in verse 3 that this is the 23rd year the word of the Lord hath come unto me. And I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. Jeremiah says, I've been preaching for 23 years and nobody's listening. But it's worse than that. Because before me, verse 4 says, the Lord has sent unto you all His servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Something else that's worth noting here in the first verse of chapter 25, or the third verse of chapter 25 here, is that Jeremiah's ministry began in the 13th year of Josiah. Jeremiah tells us that it began in that time period. And he also tells us that in the very first verse of the first chapter of his prophecy. In Jeremiah chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Jeremiah's prophecy began in one of the greatest kings of the nation of Judah. In fact, Josiah was the greatest king. Look at 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. We're kind of working our way backwards. But look at 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 25. The Lord is telling us about Josiah. And he says, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Amazing words concerning Josiah. Josiah's history begins in the 22nd chapter of 2 Kings. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 31 years over Judah. And the Bible tells us that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the way of David his father. And he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. 2 Chronicles tells us that in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And 2 Chronicles tells us that in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent men to repair the house of the Lord his God. And you'll remember that while they were repairing the house of the Lord, they found the Bible in the house of the Lord. They found the book of the law. I think one of the most instructive quotes in all of the Old Testament, and indeed in all of the Word of God, are the words of Hilkiah the high priest. Words that he spoke to a man by the name of Shaphan the scribe. They're there in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8 if you want to look at them. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. The word of God was lost in the house of the Lord. It had been put aside, it had been shuffled, it had been moved, it had been neglected until it was completely out of sight. It was completely covered up. And these people were doing what you and I do sometimes. We have a clean out. We clean up a room, we clean up our office, and we invariably we find things there. Things that we thought were lost. Things that we thought were gone. But here in the house of the Lord, the thing that they found was the Word of God. The very book that should have been preeminent, the very book that should have been exalted. It was lost, out of sight. There are a lot of churches all over this country who need to find the book of the law in the house of the Lord. All over this nation, there are churches that are in disrepair spiritually. Oh, they're in great shape. They have great edifices and great grounds and great programs. They have all of these things. But spiritually, they're in disrepair. They're in disarray because the Word of God has been lost. It's been put aside. It's been covered up. It's been neglected. It's been covered up by the ideas and philosophies and traditions of men. The Word of God needs to be found in the houses of God all over this country. But what about here? What about here? We're sitting in a place this morning where the Word of God is honored. The Word of God is preached from 3 times a week. It's preached from in Sunday school. It's preached from in chapel. It's preached from and taught from in the classrooms of this school. And so there may be a tendency to say, well, look, these things aren't really applicable to me. They're not really applicable to us. The Word of the Lord hasn't been lost in this house of God. But let's think about something for just a minute. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior today, God says ye are the temple of God. We're the house of the Lord. And that brings a question to mind. What state of repair is our house of the Lord in? How many of us here this morning have let our spiritual house go? How many of us here have let our spiritual house fall into disrepair? How many of us have let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the Word until it's lost in our lives? How many of us have allowed the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to put aside and cover up the Word of God in our lives until it's lost? If we're saved this morning, we need to repair the house of the Lord. We need to clear away the sin. We need to clear away the rebellion. We need to clear away the cares of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Right now, we need to find the book of the law in the house of the Lord. The number one problem in America today, in churches in America today, who need to find the book of the law in the house of the Lord is not the church. The number one problem is the individual believers who go to that church. It's individual believers who have lost the house of the book of the law in their house of the Lord, in their tabernacle, in their temple, who need to find the book of the law in the house of the Lord and read it. That's what these men did. 2 Kings 22:8 says, and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. He read it. Wonder how long it had been since he'd read it. He was a scribe. Wonder how long it had been since he had read it. Wonder how long it had been since he thought about it, looked for it. And then Shaphan took the book and read it before the king. He didn't preach him a sermon. He read him the Word of God. Folks, this is where the power is. This is where the power is. It's in the Word of God. And when he read it to the king rents his clothes. And he immediately sends these two men to inquire of the Lord for him and for the people because he knows they've sinned. He now knows from the Word of God how far they have drifted from the Lord. When the Word of God was read, it had a life-changing impact on a king who was already a spiritual man. You see, the word, as it's read and studied and listened to, convicts and cleanses, and it conforms us more and more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it did for Josiah. And we find in chapter 23 that Josiah gathered all the people together and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the king made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And 2 Kings 23 and verse 3 tells us, and all the people stood to the covenant. And then what's interesting is that for the next 17 verses, Josiah goes through and cleanses the land again. And that's important to think about. Because a little earlier we saw that beginning in the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the images and the molten images. And the next thing that we read is that in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land. Now that would seem to suggest that it took Josiah 6 years to cleanse the land. That's how far away the people of Judah had drifted from the Lord. It took him 6 years. You know, we don't get rid of all the dead bones at once in the Christian life, do we? It takes time. As the Lord deals with us about things. And so Josiah did this, but when he read the Word of God, he found so many other things that needed to be cleansed that it takes 17 verses to list them. The first cleansing is listed in 5 verses. The second cleansing requires 17 verses. I think there's a lesson in that. And the lesson is this: we just think we're spiritual, don't we? We just think we're spiritual until we get into this book. And as we read the Word of God, we find that it continually shows us our need. It continually shows us our sin. It continually shows us where there are those things in our life that are not pleasing to the Lord. And they're thriving and they're growing. They're eating into our lives. When Josiah read the Word of God, he found that he hadn't gotten rid of all the abominations. In the house of the Lord, there were vessels that were made for Baal. There was a grove in the house of the Lord. There was still idol worship in the house of the Lord. Even after Josiah had thought he had gotten rid of those things, he brought those things out of the temple and he burned them with fire. He burned them with fire. And it's instructive to notice where he burned the vessels that were made for Baal. Where he made the grove, where he burned the grove that was in the temple that he cut down. He took them out of Jerusalem. And look at chapter 23. And look at verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron. That's an important place. Because the brook Kidron is the very brook that flows by the Garden of Gethsemane. I think it's John chapter 18. You don't have to turn there. John chapter 18 and verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. The brook Kidron is the brook that the Lord Jesus had to cross to get to the Garden of Gethsemane. The place where he said to his Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." The brook Kidron, as it flows by the Garden of Gethsemane, is a place of surrender. And the only way that the idols will ever be brought out of our temple, the only way that the grove that we set up will ever be cut down, is for us to come to the place of surrender and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Not my will, but thine be done." Come down to the brook Kidron. The only way to get rid of the idols and the groves in our hearts is to come to this place and burn them there with fire. Allow the Word living and the Word written to judge us. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, God says, "Is not my Word like as a fire, saith the Lord?" It's a fire that'll burn the idols and the groves in our hearts. It's a fire that will expose the light of it, will expose the secret sins, the hidden things of dishonesty, the desires and the thoughts and the intents of our heart that are out of sight. These things, as Josiah swept through the land, were things that were inside. But it didn't happen until he read the book of the law. It's not going to happen in our lives until we read the Word of God, until we come to hear it read publicly. The Word of God will do that in our lives if we'll let it. We're going to have to find it. And we're going to have to read it. We're going to have it read to us. It's going to have that effect in our life. There's something else that the Word did in Josiah's life. It affected him inwardly. It had this inward effect on the house of God. These things that he brought out of the temple. But the Word also affected the things that touched his life. It affected what was around him, what was around the temple, what bordered the temple. It affected him externally, I think is the way we'll say it. An example of that is what we see in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 7. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. When I read this verse, there's one word that comes to mind. The word tolerance. Until this point, 18 years into his reign, or in the 18th year of his reign, Josiah apparently tolerated the houses of the Sodomites, just like the kings before him had, being right beside the house of the Lord. He was tolerating something not internally, but externally. He was allowing something to come in contact, to touch the temple. If we know the Lord this morning, what are we tolerating? What are we tolerating by the house of the Lord? What are we tolerating by our temple? What are we allowing to come in contact with our temple? The Lord Jesus said to the church in Thyatira in Revelation 2 and verse 20, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel." This church at Thyatira was tolerating something. This woman, Jezebel. They were suffering her. They were allowing her. They were tolerating her. Vance Havner, in a little book I mentioned to you from time to time, Pepper and Salt, his commentary on this verse was this: God judges what we tolerate as well as what we practice. God judges what we tolerate as well as what we practice. What are we tolerating this morning? What are we tolerating this morning? Well, why don't you give us a list of things, folks? That's the wonderful thing about preaching. The Spirit of God will tell you right now what you're tolerating. He'll put His finger right on it. If you read and study the Word of God, if you come and you hear it preached, the Spirit of God will point out the things that you're tolerating. He'll point out the things that are by your temple. And when the Word gets a hold of us like that, we'll break down those things. We'll break down those things in our life that we're tolerating. Reading the Word of God, hearing the Word, changed Josiah. It made a critical difference in his life. What change is it making in our life? What change is it making in my life? What change is it making in your life? We've talked about some important things today for believers. We need to find the book of the law in the house of the Lord. We need to clear away the sin. We need to clear away the rebellion and get into this book. Allow the Word of God to bring out of our hearts and bring out of our lives the idols and the groves and the hidden things, the secret things. They need to be brought out and burned, judged by the fire of the Word of God. We need to come to the place of surrender. At Brook Kidron, and surrender our will to God's will. Is the Word having that effect on us as we read it, as we hear it preached? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this book, the Word of God. What an advantage we have over generations that have passed, because we have a copy of it. Many of us, multiple copies of it. And yet so many times we neglect it. We miss the power that it can have in our lives to change us, to mold us, to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You would speak to us today and help us to examine ourselves before You. And we pray that we would purpose in our hearts to understand as Daniel did, by books. To understand by books. To understand by the books of the Word of God where we are and why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.